Good morning. I'm going to reintroduce myself. I'm Pastor Martha. I've been here once before, and I remember faces, but not names. It's my pleasure to be with you again this morning and share the Word of God and this beautiful weather that we have here in California. One thing that jumps out to me this morning in this text from Matthew, and I was reminded of right away, is that I have come to appreciate the power of a really good question. Really good question. And that is exactly what we find here in the Gospel of Matthew today. And who would have predicted that Jesus would be the one that would ask this question? Verses to the disciples, a pretty simple one. Who do the people say that I, the Son of Man, is? And I'm proud of the disciples because they know. They gave a pretty good answer. They rattled off a handful of notable prophets. I think that was a really good answer for them. But it wasn't enough for Jesus. Surprise, surprise. And then Jesus tweaks the question just ever so slightly and then raises the stakes on it all at the same time by asking the disciples, and all of us, I might add, but who do you say that I am? I'm going to do another quick review. It was well done in the children's message, but I'm going to do it again. I'm going to cover what the disciples already know about Jesus. They pieced all that together before they came up with the answer that they gave. They'd already gathered together on a mountain, and with a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread, they managed to feed maybe upwards toward 20,000 people. An amazing feat. So they knew that things, amazing things were possible with Jesus. They had seen Jesus heal people and reach out to people who were living on the edges. And then they also knew, although we don't like to say too much about this one because it's a little bit on the scary side for Jesus to say, Jesus gives us a pretty big clue that he's really going to stir some things up. Because he said back in chapter 10, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Funny they didn't mention that one while they were answering questions today. But Peter says, "You are the Messiah." Whatever that means in terms of being a savior. So the question for us today is, what about us? Both individually, and what about Bethel? What's Bethel's response to the question, who do people say that I am? Who is Jesus for us? And what can we expect of Jesus? So think about what your life experience has been with Jesus. What have you seen in the world around you? What have you experienced that said to you, Jesus is here, I know that. In this moment, in this time, I know that Jesus is here, because that's part of your answer to today's question. I want you to think about that. It's sort of your homework. But don't worry, I'm not going to do like we do with the children's sermon and call kids up to have to answer questions. You get to keep it all to yourself. You don't have to come up and share anything with me. I want you to engage in some real self-reflection. It can start now, but it's the kind of self-reflection that you really want to take with you, because every year of your life, your vision, your idea of who Jesus is in the world, it changes. Have some people that I'm going to take a look at here in the next few minutes and talk about how their views are influenced, what kind of Jesus they think is in our world. The answers that we give, no matter who we are influenced by how we see the world, how we see other people. Are people to be frightened? Are we to be frightened of them? Our views of Jesus shape our own theologies. Are we more judgmental or are we more loving? Again, how do we view other human beings, whether or not they agree with us? So one of the interesting people that I've come across most recently is a guy by the name of Doug Wilson. Maybe you recognize the name. He's said to be a pastor, although I cannot find anywhere that he went to seminary, because there are some places you can just call yourself a pastor and you are one. He was invited to do a controversial worship service at the Pentagon. It had never happened before, for good reasons. Wilson is a self-described Christian nationalist who pushes an agenda which would make it, guess what, illegal for women to vote. It would get rid of no-fault divorces. People who are gay and lesbian and trans and anybody else that they don't like who they love can all be arrested and thrown into jail. These ideas come from seeing Jesus as a top-down sort of Messiah. A top-down Messiah who places the lives of some people above the lives of others. But Jesus is a bottom-up leader. He doesn't use his power hoping to enrich himself. The disciples have been watching Jesus operate, and they have noticed that curiosity about him is growing every day. Crowds are getting bigger and bigger. What they realize is that Jesus comes down to us. He comes down to us. He reaches out to the forgotten. He reaches out to the downtrodden. He reaches out to those who are marginalized, people who have lost food assistance and are increasingly finding it difficult to put food on their table for their children or for themselves. He's all into having free lunch programs for kids in school across the board. He is against spending money to hurt people and win favor. He sees solutions to problems that challenge the world through love and kindness. He favors spreading wealth so that all have enough to live. That's a bottom-up kind of leader. And I thought, if I'm going to ask you to talk about or think about your own selves and what your view of Jesus is, that maybe I want to share a little bit about how I got to where I am. So I've been examining my own ever-evolving views of Jesus and influence in my life. It's good to keep in mind that my story is going to be different from yours, and yours is going to be different from his, because we all have different experiences in our lives. This is my abbreviated version, some brief highlights. What I discovered, again, as I was going through my life, is that Jesus showed up for me most notably in times of tragic loss. This started for me at a very young age. My earliest memory of Jesus is this picture of him by Warner Salmon. And I'm pretty sure most of you who grew up in the Lutheran Church have seen this picture somewhere. He's gotten a little darker over time, but when I was a kid, a long time ago, Jesus had blonde hair, he had white skin, and he had the bluest eyes. They were absolutely beautiful. And from my standpoint, he was the perfect typical Norwegian Jesus. Because I grew up in Northwest Iowa, and that's where a lot of Norwegians live. It hung in my 3-year-old Sunday school classroom where I was hustled off to as my grandmother was dying in the fellowship hall just around the corner. They left me there alone. I have no idea why. I guess they thought I'd be safe. But he was there. That picture was there. Jesus was there. And he kept me comfortable as I waited for somebody to come and get me out of there. Years later, I was getting ready to start high school when my father was killed in a tragic accident. He's walking across a highway and got hit. My best friend and her mother brought what seemed like an endless supply of donuts to our house from their bakery every day. They were the only things I ate for days. Julie, this friend of mine, was my constant companion in that time of tremendous grief. She didn't ask me questions or how I was feeling. She just was there with me. We did stuff together. And I will never forget the church ladies. The church ladies sent us home with ham sandwiches to last over a week. And they were all I ate until they were gone. My dad's premature death rewrote my entire life story. my siblings and my mother moved to a city not a lot farther away, but it was far enough away. We went there so that my mom could go to college, so that she would be able to be employed to support herself and us kids. Moving opened my world in a way that I could not have expected. It made me less fearful of what was out there, whether it was across the street or across the whole state or across the Mississippi River. I had new eyes to see beyond myself, to see the love of Jesus in others, to spread that same love as I pursued my own nursing career and I grew in my own faith. I was forced to let go of my search for certainty. I still fall into it sometimes, but sometimes I step out of that denial that certainty even exists outside of Jesus. Because Jesus is the rock. That is my only certainty. It is solid and dependable, constantly embracing me in love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And I can tell you how patient and persistent Jesus is, steadfast to the day, waiting for years and years and years until I would finally give in and stand on that rock and go off to seminary. At every bump or turn in the road of life, I encountered other people who were working out their own answers to the Jesus question, who do you say that I am? We would encourage each other as we journeyed along the same path. I also discovered long time ago that I love learning about how others answer this question that we're talking about today. And I recently came across the Reverend Geralyn Henry, and she is an Anglican priest. And she gives us some clues on her own journey with Jesus by naming the people who radicalized her. Thought that was interesting. And after I read her list, I really wish that I'd put a couple of her people on my list because they were really good, entertaining. But they were people who helped her grow in her understanding of who Jesus is for her and in the world. So here we go. Number one pick, Jesus. Good guess. Pretty obvious. Number two pick, Reverend Myriad Mundy. She is from Washington, D.C. She is the Episcopal bishop there. She oversaw the removal of the Washington National Cathedral's stained glass windows that honored Confederate generals and replaced them with windows representing the civil rights movement. In 2018, she presided over the interment of ashes of Matthew Shepard. He is a young man who was from Wyoming who was murdered because he was gay. And his parents were afraid to have him buried in the state of Wyoming because they were afraid somebody was going to dig up the grave. But she let his ashes be placed there at the cathedral. And then in January of 2025, she delivered a homily at the Interfaith Prayer Service following Donald Trump's second presidential inauguration. Her message? The call rang out for compassion and mercy toward marginalized groups of people. The next ones are really my favorites. These others are good, but these are my favorites. So the third one is, I wish I had one still, but I don't, is Barney. Do you remember Barney? He was America's favorite purple dinosaur. Now, I thought this was a really interesting choice until I circled through what the major themes were of that particular show. And Barney and his dino pals joined forces with a cast of neighborhood children who were different than they were. And they focused on caring and sharing and learning together. Huh, kind of sounds like a Jesus thing. The fourth one I'd already hit on a number of years ago. And that's Mr. Rogers. He was the creator and showrunner and host of the Mr. Rogers Neighborhood Show, which ran for over 30 years. He was a Presbyterian minister who was well known for focusing on children's emotional and physical concerns, such as death, getting along with your neighbors, school enrollment and divorce, real problems for kids. The cast of the show was racially diverse, breaking the previous norms of separation on the set. And the last one is Bill Nye the Science Guy. All I can figure out is that Bill Nye the Science Guy loves science, he loves teaching, and he loves taking care of the planet. And he is a reach across the aisle kind of guy. You don't have to agree with him for him to sit down and talk with you in a meeting. In a world with so many competing voices, how are we to know which ones are standing on the rock of Jesus? How do you know? What do you see? So while you're self-reflecting, look carefully. Look carefully. Do you see love that stretches out in absolutely every direction? That looks toward those who are often considered the dregs of society or the marginalized? Do you hear a commitment to lift people up? Do you hear a commitment to care for the people who cannot figure out how to take care of themselves? There's a lot of people like that. Do you hear the expectation that those to whom much is given, much is expected? Do you hear talk of equal treatment in education and health care and other benefits? Does love win across the board? We all have our own epic stories of how we discover who Jesus is. I do invite you to do your homework. You don't need to turn it in, you're off the hook. You might want to talk about it with somebody though. That might help you both. Jesus is asking, but who do you say that I am? Consider who Jesus is for you. Amen.